And he's going to share with us a message. The following week will be communion, and I often do something for communion. So it may be a couple weeks before we get there. I do plan to end this series by Easter, okay? And then after Easter, I want us to consider the seven potential demons of the church as we prepare ourselves for Pentecost. We got to get rid of the evil stuff. But anyway, last week we talked about firsthand faith people will be people that love other people. And that's not always easy. And there is a love that we are a special kind of a love that we should have for the brethren, but we should also have an unconditional love for those who are not of the brethren. Those who are believers and fellow believers in Jesus Christ. We should have an unconditional love for those who are not saved. But we should have a special, endearing kind of love for our brothers and sisters who are in Christ. First-hand faith people will exercise that according. If you're not a person of first-hand faith, then you're probably not loving properly. And so if you want to be a person of firsthand faith, you will love properly. And maybe if you have not been here, firsthand faith people are those people who are living in the manifest presence of God, who take him at his word, who believe him absolutely, who want to be close, who cannot get, they can't wait to be in his presence if they're ever out of it. And firsthand faith people, because of their desire to be close to the Lord Jesus Christ, will experience God the way not many other people will. They will have his grace. They will have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit like we talked about in Sunday school. And they will see him in a mighty way, doing mighty works and even miracles. Because they are living in his presence. First-hand faith people are living in his presence. Now, second-hand faith people, as we have talked about before, are those people who may have seen it or have even experienced it in the past, but they have lost it. These are people that are probably still going to church on occasion and even bringing their Bible once in a while. Because they are still searching, and they believe that there might be something out there, but they live primarily in the secular humanistic way of living, a product of our society instead of God's society. And so they're hoping maybe someday they can get it back. But they're not living as one who is in the presence of God. And those second-hand faith people are ones who produce third-hand faith people who, well, God's not a part of it. Not a part of their life. And I'm going to be so bold as to say that the shooter in Florida is a third-hand faith person. Because they've lost all respect for life. They have no honor or respect for God because they haven't witnessed it. They haven't been around it. But what's sad about it is if he would have prayed before it happened, God would have changed his heart and it would have never have happened. That's my own feeling, okay? That's my own belief. But third-hand faith people have lost it. They have no recognition of God in their life at all. And therefore, they have little to no hope, and they have little to no respect for God or for others, because God's not in their life. God gives you those things. And so anyway, firsthand faith people will love people properly. The way I am going today, and it may ruffle some feathers out there, I don't know, but firsthand faith people will treat their desires properly. Are desires bad? Are all desires good? No. A firsthand faith people will use their desires in the right way. And a desire is something that God gives to you. And in Psalm 37, it tells us that he gives us the desires of our heart. Isn't that true? But there's a little bit of an addition to that verse. If we read the whole verse, it says, those who delight in the Lord. So there is a responsibility on our part in order to have our desires fulfilled. Are you getting this? It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of his heart. What does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? Delight yourself in the Lord is living in his manifest presence. It's living in fellowship with his Spirit. It is accepting and receiving and acknowledging his word as truth. It is in communication with him on a regular, unbroken way. Desires become our motivation. They're kind of our motion lotion or go juice or fuel or whatever. That's what drives us. If you have no desire to do anything, are you going to do it? If I had no children or grandchildren up in Minnesota, would I ever want to go to Minnesota again? Actually, I like being from there. This is the Bahamas. Yeah, it is. It's the Bahamas. But if I had no desire to go there, I wouldn't go there. That's why I'm not going to Wyoming. I have no desire. Desires are good. But I think in the churches today, sometimes we have gotten those mixed up. How many have ever heard that you desire something for yourself? It's wrong. I have had many, many people say, I don't pray for myself because I think it's selfish. You know what? You better be praying for yourself. Yes. You leave yourself out of the mix and you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Our humanity at its core has several desires at the foundation, if you will. And I want us to think about how we're using our desires, because firsthand faith people will live out that verse in Psalm 37. Will delight themselves in the Lord, and they will find that the desires of their heart are fulfilled. Now, I'm not saying God's going to give you everything you want. Like I said at the beginning, you have to delight yourself in the Lord. And believe me, if you're delighting yourself in the Lord, you're not going to want some of the stuff you used to like. You know what I'm saying here? First-hand faith people will put themselves in the center of God's will and will delight in his presence, will delight in his vision and direction for your life, and will use things in the proper way. The three major desires, I think, that motivates everything in our person is our desire to acquire possessions. Ooh, what? Is that desire wrong? Could be. Might not be. The second desire I want us to consider real quick is to have more pleasure. What? Ooh. Have you ever prayed, God, give me more pleasure? No. I think it's legitimate. The third thing I want us to consider is, Lord, give me more power and prestige. Boy, I think I insulted a few people. What do you think? You actually want God to give you more blessing, more stuff, if you will, that you want God to give you more pleasure and more power and prestige? Those are legitimate desires. Those are at the core of humanity. Without desires such as those, where would this world be? Now let's read the key verse here, and we're going to get into some scripture. And I don't know if you're going to agree with me or not, but I'm going to lay this out to you that I believe firsthand faith people will have the right desires, and God will grant them according to your desire. Two verses in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, it says this. It says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." It says this in the 20th verse, "But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys or where thieves break in and steal." Does it say anywhere on there that we're not supposed to lay up for ourselves treasure? It doesn't. The stipulation is lay it up in heaven, not on earth, right? And that is the difference. So in there, I believe you'll find that desires and laying up treasures is not the issue. It's where you are trying to accumulate is the issue. So, first of all, to acquire more possessions. I believe that God gives us according to our capability. In some ways and in others. I don't know, but I see that as more. There are some people who cannot handle material stuff. They just can't handle it. They haven't been trained. They haven't learned how to handle the material. And so God is kind of sparingly just giving them enough to get by on. Now, if you go to Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talks about giving out talents, right? He gives 10 talents to some, he gives 5 to some, and he gave 1 talent to another. These are possessions he gave to them. And so what did the guy with the 10 talents do? Nothing. No, he went out and he gained 10 more possessions. And what did Jesus say? "Why, you scoundrel, why are you going after more possessions?" No, he didn't say that. Jesus saw him as accumulating things for his kingdom because he came back and he says, "Here, Jesus, here's 20. His desire was to make more for the kingdom, not for earth. The same with the 5. But the one was only thinking on a human level, on an earthly level, a physical, material level. He goes, "You're pretty cruel guy, you know. you go and you harvest where you didn't sow and all these other things. And so I was afraid of you. I just kind of stuck it under my rug. I'll give you the one back when you want it." And Jesus, what did he do? He says, "Here, I'll give it to the guy with 10. At least he did something." Or the one with 5, he did something. Now, I don't want us to go too far, but I think it helps to establish the fact that possessions are not the problem. It's where we lay our treasures or where we seek for our treasures or what kind of treasures we want. There's nothing wrong with saving. There is something wrong with hoarding. Where do you lay your treasures? Too often, we're not interested in improving our bottom line because we can only think in the physical, material, human dimension. And God says, I have given you a blessing. Now go do something for the kingdom. Firsthand faith people will understand that God has blessed me, and he likes to bless us even with a little bit extra to see what we're going to do with it. Are we going to keep it? Are we going to hoard it? Or are we going to do it for kingdom work? Seeking more for the kingdom is a right desire. If you're seeking just for wealth and to build my extra barn and put more stuff in it, then you might want to reconsider that. I don't know. What God has given each one of us a different level of economic status or possibilities. And we can be a scoundrel with a little as well as a lot. But as firsthand faith people, we ought to ask God, if we're delighting in the Lord and we're saying, God, bless me with more material stuff so that I can be a blessing to others. And we look for ways that we can give it away or use for his kingdom, not sacrificing our responsibilities, then that's what we're supposed to do. And maybe we haven't asked God to give us a material blessing so that we can bless others. Maybe we've said the words, but we didn't mean it. The desire comes from the heart. You can say whatever you want. But if you honestly, and I believe that's what the scriptures are saying, if we honestly want to build God's kingdom, then he will bless us with more. But if we want to say, oh, we want to put up a building just to show everybody we're pretty big stuff, man, then that's probably the wrong reason. But do we want to reach more people? Are we going to be able to do more stuff? Or are people going to get saved because of our contribution to this community and to this church? If we are people of firsthand faith, we will desire more, but we will desire more to do more God stuff. The second thing is to have more pleasure. Do we like life? Are certain things pleasurable to you? And you know, there are certain things that you're going to take pleasure in that I won't. Some people love to run the 5K or whatever. I'll watch. I could be give me a Gatorade or a water and I'll watch you. All you want to run, I don't care. That'll be my pleasure. But why would we ask God to give us more pleasure? How many believers out there today have no pleasure in life? They walk around with a scowl on their face thinking that life is long, hard, and boring, and then you die, and so what's the purpose? I don't really like it. Give me another lemon. I'll suck on it the rest of the day. So why would God want to give us more pleasure? Maybe so that we can present the truth of his goodness and his presence in our life, that it's actually something good. Maybe those who are a bunch of sourpusses today need to be on their knees. God, give me pleasure. Renew a right spirit within me. You see, we have a desire to have pleasure. We do. We like good things, don't you? And so, yeah, I want to go eat. It's my God-given addiction, and I love it. But I think the reason why we should ask for more pleasure is so that we can present the truth of the goodness of God in the right way. Life is okay. Life is actually good when you're living in the presence of God. Life isn't so good when you're not. It's a mess and a desire. And so I offer to you firsthand faith, people will want more pleasure, but will use it for the kingdom and not the earthly. Stay back on that Matthew 6 couple of verses, all right? The third thing, power and prestige. Now, wait a second, Pastor, you're going too far. I've been around these power-grabbing, power-hungry people that all they want is to look at me, right? I've been around them. I've been them type of people, too. And some of us, even in our humility, we say, I'm so humble, look at me, because that gives them power, right? Serious, yeah. Yeah, well, I'm just being honest about stuff. Power doesn't mean the kingpin on the top of the totem pole. Power-hungry, power-grabbing people are at the bottom, too. But I believe God wants to give us more power and prestige in our environment, in our community, in our workplace. I mean, face it. Who can get stuff done? Is it the wimpy nobody? Are they heard? Are they respected out there? Is it the one that's always running and won't stand firm? You know what? Our school board needs believers on that board. Our community needs believers on that city council. We need mayors that are believers. We need representatives. We need congressmen. I am thankful with Eva that Pence has that testimony he has. Hallelujah. We've got somebody as a vice president of the United States that says, I don't care what you say. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I talk to him and he talks to me. And I'm saying, I'm glad. I'm really glad. Amen. And you know what that testimony is going to do for our nation? Somebody else who is a society nobody could say those same words, and it gets no publicity, right? Now, I'm just giving you this as an example, okay? I am not picking on anybody. I'm trying to give you some thought. But we ought to pray, God, give me an opportunity to lead with your presence. Give me an opportunity to be somebody where I work. Give me an opportunity to proclaim Christ in the arena of the public, because they can be heard. And I think that we have been too long saying, well, I sure hope this country does something good. I hope they do it. I'm not praying that God's going to put me in that kind of position. You realize, try being a pastor once. Amen. People hate me at times, not everybody. But because I'm in the public eye, they gain an opinion, they form an opinion, they tell people different stuff that isn't always true about the person. It's just because they had an opinion against somebody in the public eye, and they figure they can tear them down easy because they're in the public eye. Are you ready for that ridicule? Are you ready for Satan's opposition? Because not everybody's called to be in the public eye. But we need to be people of stature and a foundation in the scripture and have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and say, put me in a place where I can make a difference. And sometimes it's a small arena, sometimes it's a bigger arena. But we need to be in prayer. God, give me a place where I can proclaim you. And so is desiring possession or stature or prestige or pleasure wrong? I think not. I think in the right context, it gives us an opportunity to present God, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the right way. And if we are delighting ourselves in the Lord and seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, he will give us the desires of our heart and use them in a mighty way. And people of faith know and understand that. Once again, I've heard too many people in the church say, you don't pray for that, man. You don't pray for myself. You don't pray for any prosperity. You don't pray for anything because that's selfish. It can be. And I don't think God's going to honor it if it is. But if you pray and you seek God for the right reason so that you will build his kingdom, and people of faith will know how to do that. People of firsthand faith. We ought to be people seeking God for these things so that we can even make a greater and bigger difference in our community and in our church. Amen? Amen. Wonder how many emails I'll get this week. Let's use our God-given desires, our stuff and our love for others, for God's kingdom. And let's work hard to show others the goodness and the greatness of God with what he's given to us. Because I don't believe God is the Grinch. I don't think he wants to steal everything. He wants to give us even more, but we can't be trusted because we want to build our earthly kingdom and not his heavenly kingdom. So let's be kingdom builders. And let's use the desires of our heart in the process because I believe God wants to. Stand with me for the benediction. Barry had to go home anyway, and Carly had a baby to baptism or dedication she went to. We can sing freely, freely, Acapulco, if you want. Or acapella, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the snow and I want to go south, right? Father, I am just praying for your words to descend upon each one of us and to show us how we can use our desires even better for your purpose. Father, thank you for giving us those motivational desires to do things. Thank you for your presence, for your truth, for your love. Bless us so we can bless others. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Before we leave, I want to offer to you, if you find yourself residing in the second or third hand faith position, you're just a prayer away from becoming a first hand faith person. And so if that's your desire, to have the desire of God and to be living in his presence, and experiencing that firsthand faith, come on up and let's pray. God doesn't want you to reside in that second and third hand arena. He wants us to be in the first. Amen.